Hey, everybody. This is Charles Cook, your host here at the Immigration Hour podcast. It's great to be with you. I am finishing up my 34th year as an immigration lawyer, and it's been an interesting year for me. Many of you know I got a little ill earlier in the late summer, and almost caught a glimpse of the other side. But it's been fun coming back, and I'm so grateful to my partners and our staff here at Cook Baxter. That literally kept the ship on course while I was out recovering. That meant I didn't record a lot of podcasts in the late summer and fall, but we're going to be back doing this full-time once a week at least here in the new year. But this is our last podcast of fiscal year, a regular year 2023, because I'm going to be leaving on a trip. My wife and I are taking a change trip from what was a long-planned trip. And we're going to be gone for the next 3 weeks starting tomorrow. So I figured I better get this podcast out. And I really wanted to talk today about the year-end statistical report from USCIS and compare that to their efforts in fiscal year 2022 to see what kind of efforts they've made in this last quarter. But not shockingly, USCIS has not released their full year statistics for fiscal year 2023, even though we're now 2.5 months after the end of fiscal year 2023. But let's take a look and compare. And I think this is important because we're going to know, they usually release these reports towards the end of the month, maybe the fourth month after the quarter ends, maybe in January. And we'll do a real comparison at that time for the fiscal year. But I think it's important to note that as of the end of June, which was three quarters of the way through the fiscal year, the USCIS had increased the number of pending cases by over 300,000. In other words, they had 300,000 more pending cases at the end of, these are not including asylum cases, by the way. This is just, their normal stuff that USCIS Service Centers does, because the asylum office, of course, has their own accounting, which we can talk about as well at the end, towards the latter part of the podcast. But they've gone from 8.6 million pending cases to 8.9 million pending cases over the 9 month period. So they failed to work on 300,000 cases during that time frame, less than they took in. But what were they working on? One big change that USCIS made in their statistical reporting is they now report on processing times for each type of case. And presumably these processing times are coming from actual receipt dates and the cases they're working on. Now, we know they don't work on cases in order. That was quite obvious from our 601A litigation. But I'm really interested in the 601A stuff, because that is kind of the key of, you know, it's the bellwether. It's what's keeping families separated. It's what's keeping them from being together. So what have they done so far? Well, for the whole fiscal year, so the first 9 months of the fiscal year, USCIS adjudicated somewhere in the neighborhood, it looks like I do the math here, of about 7,800 cases. But they received 25,000 cases for the first 9 months of the fiscal year, and they adjudicated 7,800 of them. That means their backlog grew from the end of last fiscal year, where the backlog was 121,000. Their backlog grew to 138,000, so 17,000 more people are in the backlog. Now, keep in mind that on October 1, the USCIS indicated that they would in late October, as a result of litigation we were working on and in part of their filings with the court, they produced a statement that said that within 12 months, all I-601As would be adjudicated in 12 months. So they would take the processing time from what is on this last report, 43.4 months, down to 12 months. Now, that, of course, came out after this fiscal, the third quarter report came out. And so we'll see what they were doing in the third quarter. And they clearly are working on cases, because we have clients from June of 2020 now getting their cases adjudicated. So that would suggest they're down to somewhere around 40 months, 41 months, which is what they're reporting on their reports. It's not really making much progress. And until you can, you know, and you're not going to reduce a backlog until you're adjudicating far more cases than they adjudicated in the first 3 months, the first three quarters of the fiscal year. But what are they working on? What cases are USCIS actually making a dent in the backlog on? Well, the way to look at that is to look at year-to-date receipts for fiscal year 2023 and then year-to-date completion. So, for example, fiancé visas, which they say take 13 months, which is completely outrageous. That is completely outrageous. They had adjudicated 5,000 more fiancé visas through the first 9 months of the fiscal year than they received. So they received 34,000 and they adjudicated it around 39,000, but they still left a total of 5,000. So if every 9 months they are adjudicating 5,000 more, it's going to be, I don't know, 10 years before they get caught up on their backlog. I mean, to get to zero, to get to a processing time where they're adjudicating cases in a reasonable period of time. 13 months is not a reasonable period of time. Now, keep in mind, I-130s, now there are a lot of different types of I-130s. And these are the petitions for alien relatives. They received in the fiscal year 690,000 through June, through the end of June, and they adjudicated 629. So they fell 70,000 more behind. And that's a problem because they have 1.9 million pending I-130s. Now, this is the application of people that they charge $535 for. And if you're looking at the pending cases and you take 1.9 million and you times it by 530,000, you're about $1 billion of income that you received on cases you have not adjudicated. So what money are they going to use to adjudicate those cases? In the criminal sphere, they might call that a pyramid scheme. Maybe it's a Ponzi scheme. Maybe it's both. Basically, they're taking money from people today to adjudicate cases that were filed who knows when. Now, laughably, they're saying the processing time for an I-130 is 11 months, but that can't possibly be the case because if they've only adjudicated 629,000 in the first three quarters and they received 690, at the end of last fiscal year, they had 1.8 million. So they're clearly not taking 13 months to adjudicate these cases. They're not adjudicating that many cases in a year. And I know that they, for example, they let brother and sister cases pend and Mexican family cases pend for a decade before they adjudicate them. Now, the 601 cases, unfortunately, are for some reason not reported on the reporting mechanism here by USCIS. And I don't know why they don't report 601s, but they don't report 601s apart from 601As on here. So I can't tell you how long 601s are taking other than what they're saying, which is they're taking a long time, at least 2 years at this point. Now, another area in which they get a lot of applications in which there appears to be a growing backlog is the I-751s. These are applications filed by, generally speaking, spouses of U.S. citizens, can be children of U.S. citizens, who got green cards that were conditional, only good for 2 years. You have to file to remove those conditions. So the first 3 months, of the 9 months of the fiscal year, first three quarters, they got 93,000, but only adjudicated 89,000. And they have 217,000 pending. They're saying the processing time is 21 months, but we know that's not true because we know that people have been pending for 4 years. They just extended the validity period of an I-751 temporary receipt notice, temporary evidence of permanent residence to 4 years. Why? Because they're not going to adjudicate these cases in 2 years. When we're looking at one area in which they are making progress are petitions for foreign workers. They receive, these are H's, L's, E's, R's, P's, O's. They received for the fiscal year 404,000 through June, and they adjudicated 485. So there's only 91,000 pending. The processing time for these is down to 1.9 months. So they're clearly spending a lot of time on it. But keep in mind, this is the petition that mostly receives premium processing. So they have a lot more money, and apparently they're not using that money to adjudicate 601As. they're using that money to adjudicate these cases, basically forcing people that if you don't pay the premium processing fee, that you have a many month wait. Same is true on I-140s. They received $205,000 through the fiscal year and adjudicated $209,000. They only have 53,000 pending cases of the I-140 there. So they're clearly not adjudicating those. They're going to adjudicate those in a reasonable period of time. They say 4 months. But again, a lot of that is premium processing money. Now, an area where there is a big problem is in the 526s. This is the EB-5 case, the legacy EB-5 cases, where they adjudicated 1,900 of those for the first 3 months of the fiscal year, but they have 10,800 that haven't been adjudicated yet. So what's going on? They have a four-year, maybe five-year processing time, when for many of these people, the party dates are current. You know, it's really sad that immigration has done this to people. Looking at work permits, on work permits, the USCIS has actually, in each of the areas of work permits, they have made substantial efforts to get caught up. And so the asylum work permits are caught up. They're taking less than a month, which is, you know, kind of the law. EADs for employment are taking 5 months, but they, again, adjudicated more than they received, which is great. Work permits for DACA, they're taking less than a month, but they didn't adjudicate more than they received, and they still have 141,000 pending for DACA kids. And I know some DACA kids that have been waiting for 9 months on their cases. But for all other work permits, they are falling behind. They have 750,000 of those pending, and they're falling behind on those. Again, taking a lot of money in, where's that money going? What are they spending that money on? What's interesting is they took in, just for those that are interested, on applications for regional center designation, they took in 250, but only adjudicated 77 of them, which is interesting. They only adjudicated 77 of 250. Wow. On the applications for what they call a 956H, where they received 1,800 of them, they adjudicated none of them. None. And they just literally took the money and put it in a pile, which is, we'll get to that later. On asylum applications, just FYI, they report having 900,000 asylum applications in their backlog as of the end of June. And I said they wasn't on here, but I was wrong. It is on here. They have received in the whole year 320,000. They've only adjudicated, they approved 13,000. They denied 4,400. And usually they don't deny unless somebody has lawful status, but they completed another 9,000, which means they referred 9,000 cases to immigration court. So they took in 328,000 and adjudicated 28,000. So that's your asylum problem right there. That is the broken immigration system writ large. In big white letters for this. That's kind of a crazy number when you think about it. They are literally just, now these are fee-free, so they're not making any money on these. And Congress is not allocating really any money for adjudication of them. So when you look at this, well, how long is it going to take to get a case adjudicated if you're going to do, let's say they end up doing, you know, 40,000 for the year. And there's 900,000 left. Well, it's going to take 20 years to clear to get to the backlog while the backlog keeps growing. And there are probably a million people ready to submit applications. This does not count people applying for asylum in front of the judges, which has got to be a million people. The other areas where we're seeing a lot of backlog and kind of a growing backlog, this is the case for the TPS and DACA. DACA, for getting DACA renewals for them, they have received, and I'm just trying to, you know, the font, they use the smallest possible font here. They received 243,000 and adjudicated 231,000. They have 130,000 in their backlog. Now, 90,000 of those are not going to be adjudicated, because they're the ones that were filed during the time that you could file, but then the judge stopped the adjudication. Okay. On U visas, and this is something that really problematic. And the U visas are actually broken out separately, but there are 334,000 petitions for U status, not including, you know, but that includes family members. But they've only adjudicated about 22,000 of them during the year. Maybe they'll get to 30,000 for the year. So it's a 10-year wait, it looks like, for a U visa. But the numbers are staggering because you can only get 10,000 a year. So they're looking, what, a 20-year wait for a U visa to take out family members? Kind of crazy. On adjustment of status for employment base, they say that they adjudicated through the first 3 months of the fiscal year. Now, a lot of their work was in the last quarter, but they received 103,000 and adjudicated 126,000. So they actually brought the backlog down on employment-based green cards, at least for the first three quarters. I'm interested to see what that number looks like, because they really needed to get to well over 180,000, which they said they did. So I guess we'll see that number when it comes up. On the asylum case, asylum adjustments, they're adjudicating about as many as they take in. On family-based adjustments, they fell behind by about 30,000. And Cuban adjustments, they fell way behind. They fell 70,000 behind. And on naturalizations, which I know a lot of people are interested in naturalizations, they received 600,000 naturalization applications and adjudicated 713. So they are clearly cutting deep into that backlog. There's 430,000 left, 433,000 left. They say they're adjudicating them in 5.5 months. And I think they're right, because most of my clients are actually getting their adjudication done. So in some ways, the USCIS is making some real progress. In other areas, they're clearly taking their time and prioritizing other work on 601As. They're just literally saying, you know what? They're not really a priority for us. Even though people are paying us $715, we're going to use that money to adjudicate other things. So I wanted to touch on these today because I thought it was really important to look at what they're doing. Are they really making progress on this? And, you know, there is in some areas great progress. In other areas, there's just not. And for an agency that supposedly got the full hire by the middle of the summer, almost full hire, you're not really seeing the numbers go up in any real substantial way. So it's curious, you know, what's management doing here? I'm not going to blame the employees. They're just doing what the management tells them to do. Really, what is management doing to bring these down to realistic processing times? No application should take more than a couple of months. It just shouldn't. There's nothing that complicated here at the end of the day. They all have checklists. They can run through the checklist. There's fraud, but there's not that much fraud. So why are they taking so long on these cases? Things like fiancé is taking a year. That's insane. That's an absolutely insane thing. So those are the numbers year to date for that. Now, I will tell you that USCIS also releases every single month reporting to Congress on what's called appropriations reporting. And this appropriations reporting for October is really interesting, because it shows that the numbers are really still getting caught up in a backlog, because they don't really seem to be doing what they need to do. And now the good news is they're telling Congress what's going on. Somebody in Congress is looking at that, but there's no hearings that I'm aware of. Now, the last report that I want to talk about today is the asylum report, because this is the asylum for the first month of the fiscal year. But let's look at the asylum stats for last fiscal year that came out in November. And of course, I was not really doing stuff then. So we're gonna open this up, and I'll see if I can't open. I can't open it on this computer. That's really interesting. Let's do this. Let's see if I can search the App Store to open something here. I'm using a new computer today, and so do bear with me. We are looking for opening up an Excel spreadsheet for the Mac, and I need something that opens that up. So I'm gonna, let's see, install that on my machine, and let's see. Hopefully it lets me do that. I need to put in my Apple Store ID. You know, it says you're watching Sausage Get Made. And see if I can get this to open in the new thing. Because these new stat reports are fascinating. Great. Enter the verification code seen on my other devices. There we go. Oh, there it is. I love how all these computer systems are now speaking to each other. All right, so the Excel is now downloading. Wonder if it will let me. No, not required. We'll get this here. We'll get this downloaded, and I'll be able to really. I guess I could open up in Numbers. Let me open it up in Numbers. That'll be a little bit easier to do. But what's fascinating about these numbers is they're telling you how much each office is working on. The numbers they're coming up with, and they're clearly not capable. They're just not staffed. They just don't have the staff necessary to get all this casework done. It's just too much effort is required with the bodies that they're limited to. So that bears with the people that have been flooding into the United States. And I'm going to use the word flood here. I mean, some of them have legitimate asylum cases, and I've met with a goodly number of them. But I've also met with a boatload of people that have no asylum case. Why did you come? I wanted a job. You weren't afraid of anything? No. Can you go back to your country? Sure, I can go back. I don't want to. You know, there's going to be a lot of people deported over the next 4 or 5 years, especially if Trump wins election. And, you know, the reality is if you broke the law and you don't have a legitimate asylum case, then you shouldn't be here. It's really kind of that simple. I'm just saddened, though, that the legitimate cases, and I've got a lot of legitimate cases, are pending for 10 years. A woman I met with yesterday, she came to see me. What can I do? My case has been pending for 5 years. So, well, we can sue them. We can bring litigation to federal court and sue them on this stuff. And she was like, you can do that? Sure. And we've done it a number of times, sued on asylum cases to get an interview. And what has happened every single time so far is we'll interview them. Just bring, you know, come, when can you come? And it's not that, I don't think it's malicious at the asylum office, that I know it's not. It's just a question of bodies. They just don't have the bodies to do this and get this done. All right, so I'm opening up now the Asylum Fiscal Year 2023 report. Now here, so the asylum office, I'm gonna make this bigger here so I can get all the numbers. The Arlington Asylum Office has received 42,000 asylum cases in the fiscal year. Think about that, 42, just in Arlington. In the whole fiscal year, they received 454,000 asylum cases on completions. They received 454. In the country, for the fiscal year, they completed 54. Now, what does that mean? Well, the outcome, you know, they interview everybody. So the outcome is what's fascinating here. And the outcome in this report, which you can find on the USCIS website under statistics, the asylum office for Arlington, Virginia, which is the one that covers my office where I live. And I need to, how do I make this smaller? Okay, there we go. Let's bring this down to 100%. All right. So 170 people were no-shows for the Arlington Asylum Office. There were people that they received a reschedule request in 500 cases. Wow. They granted, let's see, get this right here. They sought a reschedule request. It's weird, they list this twice. The asylum reschedule request is in here. Applicant reschedule request 492. The asylum office requested rescheduling 1,000 times. They completed 3,678 interviews. Another interview was needed 177 times on the case. Now, what was the case outcome for Arlington? Well, Arlington, they administratively closed or dismissed 765 cases. They denied or referred 129. They granted 2,948. So they granted 2,948 and they interviewed 3,600. So the grant rate is somewhere in the neighborhood of about, it looks like about 70% on these cases, which is interesting. Now, let's look at Boston, because I had a lot of complaints out of Boston. Boston, they had a grant, they had 593 grants. And in Boston, they interviewed, let's see, they interviewed 783. So again, a 70 to 80% grant rate on affirmative asylum cases. What about Houston? Houston had 2,484 grants and they had 3,000 interviews. So again, that's like an 80% grant rate. So if you can get interviewed by the asylum office and you have a good case, you're going to be approved. Although it's interesting, and the top, just the top 20 countries for asylum, number one, Venezuela, they received 98,000 asylum cases. Cuba had 78,000. Colombia had 37,000. Most of those are going to be denied. Nicaragua had 34,000. Haiti had 29. India, 17. Honduras, 12. China, 12. Afghanistan, 11. Mexico, 10,000. Russia, 9. El Salvador, 8. Peru, 6,500. Yeah. I wouldn't guess that 99% of those are going to be denied. Ecuador, 6,500. Turkey, 54. Brazil, 53. Oh, come on. Georgia, Republic of, 33,000. Uzbekistan, 26. Ukraine, 24. You notice a lot of Ukrainians don't file for asylum because they're not seeking asylum. They're seeking refuge, which is an entirely different thing. But these numbers are fascinating on the outcome of these interviews. And if you can get interviewed, you've got a really interesting chance for asylum. It's really fascinating to see what's going on. Now, the last thing that they report on are screenings. These are credible fear and reasonable fear screenings on those cases. On the screenings, they did more than 150,000 credible fear screen, 150,000 credible fear screenings and 10,000 reasonable fear screenings. And of those, credible fear was found 81% of the time and 42,000 times. So they had about 20,000 that were closed, which is interesting. So we're looking at of the adjudications, it's about 60% get a positive credible fear finding, and on reasonable fear, less than half get a credible fear finding. That's absolutely fascinating in the context of these applications. And each office also reports their individual credible fear reports here, which are just absolutely, I think, pay attention to these. If you're doing an asylum case, you definitely want to pay attention to these because you want to know what are the odds here. For example, in Arlington, Virginia, on reasonable fear, they had a total of like 800 reasonable fear interviews. 574 were denied, negative determination. And 188 were approved on persecution and 206 on torture. So the numbers are fascinating when you look at reasonable fear. On credible fear in Arlington, they had about 2,300 positive credible fear findings and 900 negative credible fear findings. So again, you're looking at about a 60% chance of being approved for credible fear. Still, you know, not as high as it used to be. It used to be like in the 90th percentile. So I love statistics. I love talking about statistics. Goes back to the first major I had in college, statistics, because you can learn a lot. Now, these statistics, of course, are opaque. The asylum ones are actually pretty good, But the general ones from the immigration are very opaque because you don't know, for example, I-130, what category, et cetera. And you have to drill down into other reports if you can find them on their website. I would encourage you to read the statistics, take a look at it, and then tune in January. We're going to be back. I already got the topic for my first talk in January, my first podcast. It's going to be the 9 ways USCIS can screw up your case. And then the next podcast after that will be the 9 ways Department of States can screw up your case. So stay tuned for those podcasts coming up in January. Have a wonderful Christmas, holiday season. Have a great new year. And we'll be back in January. Again, this is Chuck Cook, a managing partner at Cook Baxter on the Immigration Hour podcast. Bye-bye.